1370 Connection, this portion pre-recorded here on WXXI. I'm Bob Smith. We're talking right now with former Rochester Mayor Bill Johnson, who's now a senior public policy faculty member at RIT and has shared with not only this community, but communities across the country, some of his thoughts concerning the recent tragic death of Trayvon Martin down in Florida. And I want to ask you, first of all, when you first heard of this, what was your initial reaction?
Well, here's a real irony, Bob. I was in Florida for a week after Trayvon Martin was killed in Orlando and did not hear a word about this, like most of the world. This was absolutely quiet for 3 weeks, but it suddenly dawned on me just the other day. I was there in Orlando reading the Orlando newspapers every day, and nothing had come up. And then this thing came crashing into our public consciousness. And I got a call from an official in the Sanford city government, knowing of my background, and asking, you know, what had I dealt with anything like this? What advice might I offer? And it was Monday. And I said to them, I said, I've just been listening, and it appears to me that the police department has staked out a pretty controversial position. But now that new information is coming out, 911 tapes, I think you need to get in front of this story as quickly as possible and admit that you want to send this now to the state's attorney and let them make the determination, not to get locked into a position, because I guess I've seen this happen too many times, where a premature conclusion is reached, and then it becomes extremely difficult for people to retract from that position. And I think that there was an opportunity earlier, before all the demonstrators came to Sanford, for the city of Sanford to put itself on the right side of this issue, not to be and perceived to be in defending a rather indefensible act, but to at least say, we join with the family of Trayvon Martin and all citizens who are concerned that there are unresolved questions here, and that the best place to resolve these questions is in a court of law, not in a court of public opinion. Well, unfortunately, for whatever reason, they didn't take that advice, and I'm sure they got it from some more people than me. They stuck to that position, and now we are at this point of no return. And it's very, very very, very sad. And there's another article in the Orlando paper, will Sanford ever be able to live this down? This is not the kind of publicity that any community wants to be known for, and yet now they are pretty much stuck in one place and being viewed in the minds of many, many people, black and white, that this is an intolerant community, and it is not the kind of place where businesses or individuals would want to invest, you know, their time and their money.
Now, of course, it's interesting, especially to people in Rochester, because many people here in Rochester are related to and still have family in that area. It was the source of a lot of the northward migration into Rochester after World War II. So I've got to believe this resonates particularly strongly here.
Which is why I got that call, because the Sanford official is a person with Rochester roots and connections. So, yes, you're absolutely right. There's research that's been done, and I actually went and found a piece of research that's on the Rochester History section in the public library that was done back in 1990 by Victoria Schmidt. We know her. And she'd written this thing about one person from Sanford, but there is documentary evidence in this research, about this northward migration. And so it is clear we have deep connections to Sanford in the Rochester community.
And they've contributed a lot to the public life and economic life of our community, and we certainly wouldn't be the same without them. At the same time, you have to wonder, at this stage, what does a community do when something like this has happened? And what can it do to repair what's inevitably going to be a deep breach among its people?
Well, we have been there in Rochester. We have been there in Rochester. As I pointed out in this article, from 1975 to 1993, there were at least 14 documented cases of police shootings of black citizens in Rochester. And in every instance, the police were exonerated. And it didn't take long to exonerate them. But one of the things that happened in the very first shooting was that Mayor Ryan appointed a commission. The great respected lawyer Charlie Crimi was the chairman of that commission, and a host of reforms came out of that commission back in 1975. When I became mayor, as I indicated, this was a problem. This was a real problem. There was a huge breach between the black community and the police department. We spent time. We incorporated community policing programs, and we changed the culture in that police department through the leadership of chiefs like Bob Warshaw and Bob Duffy and Cedric Alexander. And so I think it's very, very important, and it can happen. The community can recover from that, but it's hard work, and it's not going to happen accidentally. But I think you've got to recognize that that this is what we've been watching is not so much the shooting of this very innocent young man, Trayvon Martin. I don't care what anybody tries to say afterwards. The fact of the matter is that everybody recognized he was walking back home, and there didn't need to be an encounter between these two men. And so what we're saying here is that what you've seen is this deep digging in, this digging in by mostly the police department, leaking of information to try to substantiate the original conclusion that they drew, that there was no chargeable offense here. And that's the culture that has to be changed. And it can be changed, and other communities have demonstrated how that can happen.
Now, do you think Rochester can take pride in the steps that it has taken over the last 35 years to deal with these issues, or does it have more work to do? Would you advise Tom Richards that perhaps more work needs to be done in this area, or maybe a combination of the two?
Oh, I think Rochester is a model. I think that every chief, police, the succeeding, the first events has really embraced this notion of community engagement, of community policing, of sensitivity training for their police officers, of firearms training. Dr. Alexander, when he was deputy chief, before he became chief, even instituted protocols to deal with emotionally distressed people so that people with shotguns would not be sent to a scene, but a man with a stun gun would be sent there. People would be trained to go in and try to defuse the situation. That shooting would be the last recourse that they would take rather than among the first. So I think that Rochester has demonstrated that. Certainly Chief Shepard, you know, has been a part of this department. I think, and I think Mayor Richards and Chief Shepard could certainly talk about the absolute progress that has been made in the Rochester Police Department over these last 35 years.
So if we have some lessons to share with the rest of the country, what lessons should every community, even Rochester, perhaps learn from this so that this kind of tragedy doesn't happen again, never happens again?
Well, I think that certainly we can't predict what will or will not happen, but I think as a community we can take steps. And the second piece of this equation that I cited was a notion of racial sensitivity, the racial conciliation. And when I was at the Urban League, we did this. We had this campaign against racism. It was a very simple pledge form, and we got overwhelmed. I mean, to be absolutely truthful about it, two things happened. I left and went to the mayor's office, and then the Urban League just got overwhelmed by the number of people who wanted to take this pledge. I think that there is something to be said about a community. I know the YWCA has this program, but I think it needs to be every day, all the time, everybody consciously addressing the fact that we still have racial problems and that we will not solve these racial problems by ignoring them or trying to sweep them under the rug. And that's what the problem is in Sanford, because if you talk, these people didn't get angry just over Trayvon Martin. They have been seething over a whole host of indignities and confrontations with the police department. And I hear the mayor in Sanford. I hear the city manager. I think they finally get it, that they have to put this near the top of their list of priorities as opposed to in the middle or near the bottom.
Is that Stand Your Ground law, which Florida has, and I gather a few other states, but definitely not New York, is that Stand Your Ground law part of the problem as well? Does that need to be rethought by every state that has it?
I think so. I mean, I've been watching this dialogue going back and forth. The governor was on the other day. The legislative sponsor of this Stand Your Ground law, former Governor Bush, who signed it into law, and what they seem to be recognizing is that this presents a serious constitutional legal challenge to this, because essentially, as people, I don't think it is too rash to say that this is legal. This is a legal excuse to take matters into your own hands. If you take it to an ultimate conclusion that a person can use deadly force and then claim self-defense, there's only one side of the story that can be told, and that's the person who pulled the trigger. If the victim is dead, he cannot offer his side of the equation. And so the person says, I shot in self-defense. I don't think any law should give that kind of blanket power, unlimited power to any citizen. All laws impose restraints. And what I know about the Stand Your Ground law, no restraints exist on this. You claim you feel your life was threatened, and you can pull the trigger and end somebody's life and then walk away without any fear of prosecution or other consequences. So my hope is that this will also unleash a nationwide discussion, because there are 20 other states other than Florida that have similar laws. And I think that this is another nationwide dialogue that we need to have. We should not be walking around with vigilantes and people professing that they are afraid to walk out of that door, so they need to take a gun and shoot at any shadow, or to be a self-professed vigilante like George Zimmerman obviously is.
Hopefully all the lessons that need to be learned will be. Our thanks to Bill Johnson, former Rochester mayor, now senior public policy faculty member at Rochester Institute of Technology, for sharing his views on the tragedy of Trayvon Martin's death. I'm Bob Smith. You're with us on 1370 Connection on WXXI.